For a moment she was conscious of the power of gods beyond those she could see with her newly awakened vision. Then she was again standing with the two celestial companions who had traveled with her to God's kingdom. Then appeared the mighty Ovanan, a being of majesty and power, the supreme divine ruler of the kingdom of the blessed and master of the 253rd degree, the brilliancy, 35, of his garments and the power that emanated from him showed him to be a supreme master of power. He was fair in complexion, with a glorious head crowned with a profusion of white wavy hair not grey, but naturally white. His eyes were like deep purple stars, and as he spoke it was as though his voice vibrated from far distant realms in space. He was master of ceremonies, and conferred the 254th degree upon the supreme divine ruler of their spheres. Streams of pale gold and silver light radiated from his hands and person and vibrated toward the great ruler. The great ruler held out his hands toward the beloved Jose, and the beloved Jose vibrated his power toward the great Sewin. Thus the power was radiated around until it had reached every god and ruler present, after which it was vibrated to the celestial travelers. The great wave of light that had separated them parted on each side, and, without being conscious of any movement, the celestial beings found themselves in the midst of gods and rulers. Perfect harmony reigned, and these mighty personages were as cordial and as kindly in manner to the travelers from the celestial sphere as though they were all of the same rank in power. Then were the celestial travelers made the guests of honor of these gods, while a brilliant panoramic scene of splendor continued for 6 hours. A thousand beautiful beings, representing the order of the purple star, appeared in the symbolic movements of the different degrees. The ceremonies and movements were also very beautiful in the order of the white iris. This order was represented by 12 of the most spiritually developed beings from the Isle of Harmonia, God's kingdom, the kingdom of the blessed, the sphere of supreme content, the sphere of light and wisdom, their arcana of power, and the realm of glory. Then came the passing of the gods of power, a scene that outrivaled in splendor anything there celestial travelers had before beheld. Chapter 3. A pilgrimage to the infinite land. It seemed to these celestial travelers that existence would hereafter be even a greater blessing than before, for they had been made more conscious than ever of the mighty creative power of the infinite. At the close of these great festivities, the mighty Ovanan gave forth this message to the celestial travelers. Daughters of light, say to the one of earth, known as Hiram the Carth Battery / when you commingle with him upon the astral, that he shall yet triumph, that his faith is now being tested, and, while there are still some discouragements for him to fuss, hem used push himself th rough them. Their goal of his efforts shall be great success, although I say the task he hath been called upon to complete shall not be an easy one, yet it will be worth the while, for the ultimatum shall be for the upliftment and betterment of humanity, and great shall be the reward, and the joy and peace which followeth after shall be greater than mortal mind hath yet been able to comprehend. Say to the loved one of earth, push on / for while the pathway holds obstructions now, yet a little further beyond the way is clear and the vista reveals a realm of wondrous beauty / the celestial travelers passed from this scene of great splendor, feeling as though they had lived a great many years since passing up into those mighty realms, and there were still many temples to be explored and points of interest to visit. Before passing into the temple of God, they took on their former celestial condition. Their next point of interest was the individual temples, which two of them were to see for the first time. The fact that they were to behold these temples together made the privilege doubly interesting. As they passed out into the atmosphere of God's kingdom, they were greeted on all sides with words of welcome by the inhabitants of that region, who evidently knew that three people from the celestial world were visiting their country. It would seem, from the hospitality they showed and the marked degree of interest manifested, that they considered these three people personages of importance. In the Grove of Promethea, a wonderfully beautiful spot, an affair was to be held in honor of these travelers. They accepted the invitation to be present, and found themselves in a great bower of floral beauty. The trees and shrubbery, whose foliage was of many different kinds and colors, were made more beautiful by festoons of rose blossoms. It was delightful, of course, the gathering in this beautiful grove, where the very air was an inspiration of something sublime. There, grandeur of scenes through which they had just passed and the sudden change to scenes of pastoral beauty formed a picture upon the consciousness of the travelers that was marvelously beautiful. The people gathered in the Grove of Promethea were marvelously intellectual. There were no ordinary ones among them, and the language that flowed from them was like liquid music. They were very tall and of fine proportions, and they looked very beautiful. The female beings wore illuminated draperies of various colors that seemed as delicately beautiful as mist. About be heads and forms of some of them were halos, circles of stars or characters of light, indicative of some rank or honor that had been bestowed upon them. Their faces were marvelously beautiful, and their eyes wonderfully clear windows of the soul. Their eyes of celestial beings are wonderfully brilliant and beautiful in expression, but they cannot be compared to the eyes of the inhabitants of God's kingdom. The time glided by in a joyous and happy manner. Strains of sweet music seemed to float from every direction, and there was a wondrous charm in everything. Every being in that beautiful grove was a representative of great work, and, while all appeared to give themselves up to their pleasures of the hour, they were at the same time directing great movements in different parts of the universe by the power of mind. The minds of these people were so powerful that they could be used in many different directions at the same time, without any indication of absent-mindedness. The celestial travelers had been in that realm but a short time to have passed through the wonderful experiences which are here related. To one of them there came still more wonderful experiences in the kingdom of the blessed, still farther beyond in the realms of space. At length the travelers found themselves on their way toward the temples which they had created by the acts and motives of their own lives. They had now reached a part of God's temple where they met but few people. The travelers had developed so much wisdom since passing up into these regions that they were considered competent to act as their own guides. As one had been over the road before, there need he no fear but what they would find the way safely. I may say, however, that their spiritual mind in an unfolded state possesses no degree of fear, and can move to difficult points in space with perfect safety and with a surety that the point desired will be reached. The five temples could he seen for some time before they were reached. To the one who had been there before they seemed larger than on previous occasions. This was true, of course, since everything is revealed in its true light in those mighty realms of space. There was the temple of golden, brown, the one of white, the pink temple, and there, two of pale silver and gold. This was to be one of the most interesting experiences of the entire trip, on account of its personal nature. It was decided that each traveler should visit her own temple first, then they would all enter the temple of the one who had played such an important part in the lives of each of them. The temples all seemed considerably larger than they had on the previous visit, and they apparently were growing rapidly, for as their builders stood and looked at them, they could see the upper parts, which looked at first like smoke, gradually take on the form of the lower parts of the buildings, and as they took on form they became luminous, an appearance not manifested in the parts below. Although these individual temples were some distance from each other, there was a pathway, which looked like a broad silver ribbon connecting one with the other and extending far up in their ether. It had not occurred to them at first to walk over that pathway, but they did so finally, and their sensation they experienced was wonderfully pleasant and invigorating. Upon the previous visit of Rose the Sunlight to these temples, she had noticed a number of very interesting manifestations whose meanings had not been revealed to her, but she had been told that on her third trip these things would be revealed unto her. Emma the Starbeam and Grace their messenger went on to their temples, and Rose their sunlight entered hers. On her previous visit, the latter had made up her mind that she would build her temple grander and more beautiful than ever before by the motives and acts of her life, and now, as she stood within the structure of her own life, she realized that she had builded well. On her previous visit she had been shown two crystal balls, one blue and one white. The meaning of the blue ball had been revealed to her, but the white one she had been unable to read. Now, there was neither blue nor white ball, but a large, golden circle, within which the beholder saw herself and the work she would accomplish during their next 1,000 years. It was a marvelous picture, one calculated to fill her mind with joy, for the good she realized she was to accomplish was well worth the efforts she had put forth and would put forth to grow toward higher accomplishments and broader realizations. She saw herself with a great work to accomplish in at least 25 different realms of space, the first four of them being the Earth, their celestial world, God's kingdom, and the kingdom of the blessed. The others were still farther beyond in space. She saw that before the 1,000 years had expired, one would work with her, who was still of the Earth. And also that through their work and influence millions of people upon the ear would find the way to the light of progression. She saw herself far upon the region, known as the Realm of Power, as the supreme leader of the people of that particular portion of the infinite world. She knew she would have to climb some to reach that point, but as it was so indicated, she would evidently attain it. It seemed very interesting. The thought of what an earnest woman could accomplish by being brave enough to make the effort to climb toward lofty heights and to carry with her as she went there, name of humanity. She saw herself with the one who was to act with her in the years to come in different parts of the universe, terrestrial, celestial, and ethereal. They seemed to be greatly interested in their work, but they had times in which they gave themselves up to the recreations and pleasures of the higher world. The picture seemed very absorbing and fascinating to Rose the Sunlight, and she felt conscious of a stronger desire than ever before to make her work a worthy one. In one part of her temple, Rose the Sunlight could behold the earth and could bring to her vision at once anyone she desired to see. She saw the one with whom she was working on the earth, and vibrated a message to him. It seemed that she moved about for a long time through her temple, studying some indications that she saw and gaining new lessons in the realization of infinite love, power, and wisdom. By this time the other travelers had explored their temples, and they met on the outer branch of the pathway leading to the temple of Hierom there, Earth Battery. This temple appeared more brilliant in appearance than it had on previous occasions. Upon a previous trip to this temple, four compartments had been shown, each veiling a mystery which would be made clear upon the third trip to God's kingdom. The time was now at hand for these mysteries to be revealed. There, rose-colored box, the four symbols, the case, and the golden dish were all symbols of experiences that would influence the life of the builder of this temple. They indicated struggle and discouragements, but through these discouragements a plan would he evolved that would result in the establishment of great good for the cause of humanity. The symbols showed a period in the life of this builder where he would be strongly influenced by members of the Masonic Brotherhood who had passed on to broader fields of action. He would be strongly influenced during two very important periods of his life. The first time would be when he prepared a book on masonry, the second time would be in his building and establishing their temple or light, for the Masonic Brotherhood, from the spiritual side of life, would have a part to play in the building of this great temple. The dark case with the three stars was very peculiar. It represented a time when it would seem to this builder that he was moving blindly in there, effort to put into operation his plans and ambitions. The three silver stars were symbolic of their loving interest that three angelic beings would manifest toward this life. The stars were also indicative of help shining through darkness. Their case at first was very dark and indicated that there would come a time in the life of this builder when he would almost abandon certain very important things which had been planned to shape his life. Later on, this case grew very bright and led out to a very beautiful scene where two people could be seen who would play a very important part in the life of this builder. The fourth symbol, a large, covered dish of gold, was shown now, without the cover. It revealed the crowning period of life, the building of a mighty temple, ultimate wealth, great honor, and the loving companionship of those near and dear to him. A large compartment was taking shape near the top of the building. It was veiled in purple and silver light. What it contained would not be revealed until their next visit to God's kingdom. The three celestial travelers were now met by Jose, Supreme Divine Ruler of the Spheres and God's Kingdom, and Jehovah, Supreme Divine Ruler of the Kingdom of the Blessed and Master of the 253rd degree. The beloved Jose would accompany Emma there, Starbeam and Grace Celestia upon their return trip, while Rose the Sunlight would journey to the Kingdom of the Blessed to pass through another weird and fascinating experience. Chapter 4. A Pilgrimage to the Infinite Land. In the Kingdom of the Blessed, in company with the Supreme Divine Ruler of God's Kingdom, the Great Hovannon, and a retinue of beings of such intense brightness that her vision could not penetrate the powerful light, the celestial traveler known as Rose the Sunlight passed onward and upward through realms of space so far beyond the earth that there were no figures in material language large enough to estimate their height. The space through which he passed was not like earthly atmosphere or ethereal space. As far as she could see, the infinite universe was aglow with the most intense light. It was as though she moved through a sea of wonderful glowing light. Never had she felt so uplifted, and the peace of God which passeth understanding was more perfect than it had been in God's kingdom. This traveler was no larger in appearance than she had been before, but her consciousness had expanded in such a powerful way that she was at least 50 degrees higher in realization, vision, and understanding than she had been before. How glorious, how marvelous life and creation appeared to her, and what a blessing to be alive. She was drawing still closer to the great heart of their infinite, where the God power was apparent in every atom space. It was a strange thought to contemplate a being who not a great while ago was of the earth, now in the company of the gods of the universe. In order for this being to enter these realms, she was obliged to pass through a most peculiar experience, an experience quite unlike any of previous occasions. Before this time, she had been unable to penetrate the aura of light by which the beings were surrounded who accompanied her. She could see them quite distinctly now, however, and beheld in them beings marvelously grand and beautiful. There were 25 of them, and they represented the perfected sex. From the different strata of light through which they passed, vibrations of wonderful electric elements were passing downward toward God's kingdom. This power was not called electricity, however, it was called divine election, or supreme principle of creative power. This was the power which modified, produced life in its many forms. It was wonderful to contemplate, and yet not wonderful, after all, when considering the boundless powers of the infinite, which made almighty expressions the manifestation of natural law. For miles and miles in extent appeared a great white structure resembling a palace. This was my father's house with its many mansions, and here dwelt the inhabitants of this sublime realm. Everything to be seen here was either pure white or pale flame color. The beings of that region wore garments of white or the yellow of flame color. At length there appeared to view a mighty temple of flame color and white. JT was on a more magnificent scale than any that had yet been seen. This was the temple of light in the kingdom of their blessed, and here the ceremony would take place, which would take Ovanan, the former supreme, divine ruler, up into the next higher realm of there, infinite, while Jehovah would be crowned supreme, divine ruler of the blessed kingdom. No words are strong enough to picture the magnificence and grandeur of all that took place in that blissful region. Everything was in the form of ceremony. The minds of these beings had attained such rare unfoldment that the inhabitants found their supreme happiness to consist in their evolving and carrying out of great plans. By this time the divine ruler of God's kingdom had returned to join the brilliant coterie of gods, and to behold his father made supreme divine ruler of the kingdom of the blessed. This ceremony was grander than anything the celestial traveler had yet witnessed. Thousands of beings from the blissful regions were present, and great numbers of rulers from realms still farther advanced in space. Assembled there in their garments of light, they made a picture that was beautiful, grand, and sublime. The celestial traveler was delighted beyond measure, and, as she prepared to make a return trip from the courts of light to the earth plane, that to reveal to the world truths never before given to mortal man, she felt she had indeed been blessed. The end. This was copied from https://archive.org/stream/2yearsinheaven.